Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Be Unique Unscripted, because an authentic life is unscripted. Presented by Bronner House Museum, Eliza Kaler, the spiritual therapist, and Little Green Oasis. Unscripted brings you amazing guests and open mic nights every Thursday night at 9 o'clock Eastern Time. Be sure to subscribe so you don't miss an opportunity to learn more. Visit our calendar on beunique.org to see who we have scheduled to appear next. That's beunique.org.
Hello, everybody. This is Mary Brotherton, your host of Be Unique Unscripted, and I want to tell you that if you have to be stuck at home, be stuck at home with something positive. Go to Be Unique, read one of our magazines, or better yet, listen to our podcast. Tonight, I'm here with my co-host, Gene Albertson. Hi, Gene.
Hi. How you doing? Good evening, everybody.
Good. And we're here to introduce Michael Taylor. He's a personal coach. He's an entrepreneur. He's written, well, I just found out, probably about 11 books by now, because the last update I have was 7 books. He's a motivational speaker, a radio show host. He's all about empowering men and women to reach their full potential. Michael, how are you doing? It's good to have you. I'm so glad we were able to reschedule you back this year.
Well, Mary, I'm absolutely delighted to be here. And I just want to say I love your title, Be Unique, because one of the things that I coach people on is transforming themselves from the inside out. And when we learn to discover who we really are, that's when we find our uniqueness. And that's what
exactly.
I think our purpose in life should be, to find our uniqueness. So I'm really excited to be on the show today with you.
Well, thank you. I'm glad to have you here. Just before the show, we were talking about the new culture of manhood. And that was the last book that I knew about. But you've written several books since then. What in the world started you writing about empowering men and women, but about the culture of manhood? How did you get started in this?
Well, first of all, let me just say this. I happen to be what I consider an irrepressible optimist with a passion for the impossible. And without
Oh, my God. Gene, is he not our kind of guy?
Exactly.
Obviously, there are lots of challenges in the world right now. But, again, I'm an optimist, and I know without question that no matter what happens, humanity always finds a way. And
yeah.
So I believe that humanity, whenever we experience what I'll call breakdowns are simply preparations for breakthroughs. And so the temporary breakdown that we're going through right now as a species is preparation for an amazing breakthrough. Well, I believe we as a species learn that we are all one family, and we have to work together to make this country and this world work. So, I want to put
Isn't
that out there.
Isn't it about time?
Absolutely.
It's about time, don't you think? Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
Definitely.
And so, definitely.
I know you've had your share of breakdowns in your life. I mean, you were raised in a large family by a single mom, weren't you?
Yeah, so basically, let me go back a little bit. So, back in the 1960s, we were basically the poster children for poverty. I was raised in the inner city projects of Corpus Christi, Texas, to a single mom with 6 kids. And despite our financial circumstances, my mom instilled in me at a very early age that anything was possible. And it is something that I've carried with me my entire life. And it was that teaching that she taught me about anything is possible, which has allowed me to overcome some pretty challenging adversity. So a couple of examples, I dropped out of high school in the 11th grade because I went to a seminar once, and this guy convinced me that I could get rich selling vacuum cleaners.
Oh, my gosh.
I dropped I dropped out of high school to pursue this dream of getting rich selling vacuum cleaners, never sold a single vacuum cleaner. But fortunately for me, I landed a job with a building supply center, and I worked extremely hard. I climbed the corporate ladder pretty quickly, became the youngest manager in the history of this company at the age of 22. By the age of 23, I was living the American dream. I had the house, the wife, the 2.5 kids, and all of that. And by society standards, I had succeeded. And within approximately a 6.5-year time frame, that American dream turned into the American nightmare as I went through a divorce, a bankruptcy, a foreclosure, a deep, deep state of depression. And I was actually homeless for 2 years, living out of a car. And so during the darkest period of my life, I received a miracle. I was sitting up late one night because I was too depressed to sleep, and I was sitting at the edge of my bed looking across my room, the room at my bookshelf, when I happened to notice every book on my bookshelf had something to do with getting rich or making money. And as I looked at those books, this question just popped in my head. Michael, what if you took all the energy and effort you've used in trying to get rich and simply figure out how to be happy? And it was that one simple question that literally changed and saved my life in an instant. And that's what began my journey of what I'll call my journey of transformation. And during this process, I asked myself another question. What does it mean to be a man? Because I had done everything society says a man's supposed to do to be happy, and I was absolutely miserable. So I wanted to figure out what it meant to be a man. So that, again, led me on this amazing journey of transformation and research in terms of looking at the changing roles of masculinity in society, and I began writing books about that back in 1995.
Wow. Well, it sounds like you've really, really come a long way now. I was wondering about, was there a point when you just had no hope? Before or after that point when you looked and said, wow, what if I spent all of my energy doing something different than what I've been spending it on?
Well, there was a point where I actually contemplated taking my own life. It was it was that dark.
True.
Fortunately for me, if there's such a thing as a resilience gene, my mom passed it on to me. And so my mom went through some amazing adversities in her own life. And so I had that to draw upon. So fortunately, I think what really saved me more than anything were my kids. I knew that I had to be there for my kids, and I could not even bear the thought of the pain my kids would have went through if I would have taken my own life. And that's what really saved me more than anything else.
Yeah, that's a dark, dark place to find yourself in. And I can only, hearing you talk now and knowing your optimistic outlook on life, that had to be really, really hard on you on a psychic level to be that low that you would think that was the only way out.
Well, again, I'm a firm believer that everything happens for a reason.
It does indeed.
I really believe that every human being actually has a divine purpose, and it is our responsibility to figure out what that purpose is.
Uh-huh.
And fortunately for me, what I can see now in retrospect is that, first of all, my divorce was the absolute best thing that ever happened to me.
Preach it. I'm right there with you, brother.
It challenged me for the first time. Number one, to stop looking outside of myself for happiness, you know, the cars, the money, the stuff, the house, the women, and all of that. It challenged me to go within, to start looking within. And so I stopped reading books on getting rich and making money, and I started reading books on psychology and philosophy and spirituality and metaphysics and personal development. And I came to this understanding that every human being has a divine spark within them. It is something that we show up with. It is our birthright. It is that divine spark of God, if you choose to use that word. And so when we tap into that purpose, we will be guided to ultimately find our true, authentic purpose. And I believe our purpose can be found at the intersection of that which you love and are good at, and that which serves humanity in some way. So, for example, I never dreamed of being a writer or a speaker. I didn't start writing until my 30s. I didn't even know I could write. But as a result of going through my divorce, I started journaling. And through the process of journaling, I realized that I could organize my thoughts in a way that, you know, I could help people, and I started writing books. And so I would have never become a writer or a speaker if I had not gone through my divorce. So my point being, we each have this spark of divinity within us. And we have to stop looking outside of ourselves to connect to that divinity.
Yes.
Every spiritual master, every spiritual teacher has pointed to this idea. It doesn't matter what religion you practice or believe in. They all point to the same thing. There is something in you that is divine. And when we allow ourselves to tap into that, then anything is possible.
Mm-hmm.
You are preaching to the choir. Mm-hmm. I love it. Let's jump over here and talk about your new culture of manhood. What exactly do you mean by that?
Well, it is my belief that the greatest challenge we have in the world today is to create a new paradigm of masculinity. And my definition of a paradigm is a rigid way of believing, thinking, and behaving. So the current paradigm, the current way of thinking, believing, and behaving for men, I believe, is antiquated because the roles of masculinity and manhood are changing very, very rapidly for the better.
Yes.
For example, in this country, you know, for the first time, there are actually more women in the workforce than men. There's also more women graduating from college than men. If you pay attention to politics, have you noticed how many women are now getting involved in politics?
Uh-huh.
So some men are threatened by that because the old paradigm says, as a man, these are some things that we're supposed to do, and these are some things that women are supposed to do. Women shouldn't be running billion-dollar companies. Women should be barefoot and pregnant at home. You know, we have some people that are trapped in that old antiquated mindset. And so what I believe is that men are actually waking up. And it's part of human evolution. There's a wonderful woman named Barbara Marks Hubbard. You ever heard of her?
The name
is familiar, but I can't remember what for.
Yeah, she wrote an amazing book called Conscious Evolution. And this book's probably 10, 15 years old. But she passed away a year or so ago. But she really shaped my thinking in terms of humanity and evolution. And basically what she said is that human beings are still evolving. Now, obviously we're not evolving physically, but as she mentioned, we're evolving in consciousness. And so consciousness is one of those things that's kind of difficult to define or describe. But every generation, I believe, is more and more evolved in consciousness. And so if we believe in a divine intelligence that created this universe, which I do, then this intelligence knows exactly what it's doing. And it's expressing itself through us as human beings, and the goal is to ultimately create heaven on earth. Now, if you look at what's happening in the world today, it's pretty difficult to even imagine that that's even possible. Well, I personally believe that it is. As a matter of fact, I think it's inevitable. Why? Because divine intelligence knows exactly what it's doing. So how do we support divine intelligence in creating this thing called heaven on earth? Well, for me, my purpose is to challenge men to redefine manhood and masculinity. Because I believe in doing so, we will see the eradication of things like domestic violence, senseless acts of violence, high incarceration rates. All of these things are tied to men who are trapped in what I'll call antiquated paradigms of masculinity. And so during my research, what I discovered is that there are five illusions of manhood that men get trapped in. And it is these illusions that cause the majority of pain and suffering in a man's life. So before I share those five illusions, did you guys have any other questions or comments before I jump into those?
You know, I think Gene and I could have just stayed home and let you just run the show.
No, actually, that was kind of what I was wondering about. Yeah, exactly. But that would have been my next train of thought. Is exactly the number five, the five stages, and why five?
Well, again, there are more illusions, but these are the five primary ones that every man can relate to. But I also believe they are the five most destructive, and that's why I stopped it at five. So let's go over the five illusions of manhood.
Before you do, I'm going to take a quick break, and I'm going to tell our audience if they have any questions, if anybody wants to call in and talk with you, Michael. After soon as we finish with this little commercial, would be a great time before we go into the five illusions. The number's 516-418-5651, and I'll be right back.
Only once every few years does a show come along that makes you think, makes you care, makes you believe the impossible. A show featuring only the best in writing, acting, and directing. Until that show comes along, we suggest Paranoria, Texas. Thrill to the adventures of six super-powered nerds on a never-ending quest to take over the world and to complete their collection of She-Hulk comics. Paranoria, Texas, Monday nights at 8 p.m. Central on AstronetRadio.com.
And as promised, I am back in just a few seconds. The number to call in if you want to talk with Michael, Gene, or Mary is 516-418-5651. And now, Michael, please take it away with those five illusions.
All right. Illusion number one is, to be a man, you must be non-emotional and disconnected. And herein lies the greatest challenge for men. Because in our society and culture, men have been conditioned to believe that women are more emotional than men. I'll say that's an illusion. Men feel the same emotions at the same depth, the same level as women. Unfortunately, in our culture, we're conditioned not to express our emotions. Most of us are comfortable with things like anger and rage. That's something that's acceptable for men. But a lot of men don't know how to talk about sadness or fear. But see, these are just emotions that all human beings have. And as mentioned, men feel at the same depth and level as women, but we repress, suppress, and deny our emotions, and that's what drives most of our negative behavior. And so when we can create a conversation in which men open up and get real and be okay with vulnerability and sensitivity, then we open the door for male transformation. And it is extremely difficult for most men to go there. Why? Because our society and culture has conditioned us based on the media and our cultures that men are supposed to be tough, men aren't supposed to feel, men are supposed to carry the weight of the world on their shoulders, and that's why so many men are unhappy. You know, it's interesting to see that 75% of all suicides are by men. Why
really?
Is that?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Because men don't know how to deal with and express how they feel. Too many times what happens is they have all this emotion pent up, so what do? They turn to alcohol, they turn to sex, they turn to work, they turn to these addictive behaviors to deny some repressed emotion that they haven't dealt with or healed. And when we can get men to talk about and start sharing from their hearts, not their heads, then we start creating healing amongst men. And so that first illusion is that, again, men are not supposed to feel. To be a man, you're supposed to be non-emotional and disconnected. Because the only time it's okay for most men to express feelings like joy is during sports. Think about it. If you watch sports, Men don't think about if another man hugs another man or pats him on the butt. It's okay during sports, right? But to say I'm in an environment where I'm with a man, he's a friend of mine, and to just be able to tell another man I love you without the fear of being called gay, without the fear of feeling, you know, like they're less of a man. See, we've been conditioned not to express those things as men. And so we have to change that conversation and let men know that it is absolutely okay to be in touch with your emotions, because emotions are just energy in motion, not good or bad, right or wrong. They're just part of the human experience. And so
it's interesting that you say that, because I notice among my female friends, there's not a question, you know, when we go out together, whether it's couples or just women, they're going to hug and they may kiss. And they don't think twice about it when they're saying hello and goodbye. But if there are men in the group, you know, they're just shaking hands. That's the best they can do. They might slap each other on the back. But even if it's a very jovial event, the men are holding back a little bit.
Absolutely. And again, it's part of the culture, because I think the biggest challenge is the fear of being labeled gay. Because the homophobia that permeates our society, once again, is based on this idea that a sensitive, emotional man is going to be gay. But that's not true. You can be just as masculine and tough and strong and emotional without being, you know, gay. And so it's a real stretch for a lot of men, because, once again, the conditioning of our society says men aren't supposed to feel or express how they feel. And
little boys
a
don't
lot
cry.
Of men. Exactly. Exactly. So that's the foundation of, again, the most of the pain and suffering in a man's life, that illusion. So that's illusion number one. Let's go to illusion number two. Illusion number two is, to be a man, you must use sexual conquest as a gauge for manhood.
Oh, my.
We all know what the media tells us, that sex sells, right? So from a very early age, as men, as boys, it's our job to try to have sex as quickly and as with as many women as possible, because we somehow think we get these notches on our belts by sleeping with women. And this is something that's been going on for a very, very long time. So the question becomes, for us as men, are we willing to change that conversation and stop teaching our boys that sexual conquest validates you as a man or validates your masculinity? We have to teach our boys and men that we have to be comfortable understanding the difference between having sex and making love. And you can't make that distinction if you're not in touch with your emotions. Because what happens is men have sex as a purely physical act. And the physical act of sex without emotional attachment is a recipe for this addiction. Because if you don't feel, if you don't have that intimacy and connection with someone, then once again, it's just a physical act that a man is just trying to validate and feel good about himself by having sex. And too many men are caught in that trap. So it's time for us to have a conversation, to move past, and think about it. When you turn on your television, what do you see? Look at our movies. Listen to our music culturally. It's all about sex, 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 sex. And the question becomes, okay, so if sex is so great, why is it that when people get married, the sex kind of fades away? What happens there?
You know, Mike, I had a conversation with a young woman not too long ago about that. She's still single, and she's finding her way in this world. But I explained to her that sex is not the definition of intimacy. And she said, what do you mean? And I said, I can tell you without a doubt that I have been more intimate with my husband with our clothes on than we ever have been with our clothes off. Because I think he has understood what your new culture of manhood is talking about. He understands it's okay to cry at a sad movie. It's okay to be angry if it's a reason to be angry, not just because I'm angry. But it's interesting that the younger women are curious about this too, because they also think, well, to be validated, I must, to be lovable, I have to have mm-hmm. sex.
Yep.
And that's not what makes a young man or a young woman lovable.
And what's really interesting is that these illusions actually apply to women just as much as they do men. The thing is in our culture, there are so few men that are having this conversation. That's why it's so important that we do, so that we, again, allow men to create what I'll call safe spaces in which we teach them. So what is intimacy? Intimacy is the ability to see my deepest thoughts, my deepest feelings, my deepest beliefs, and to be able to share them with another human being. And when you create intimacy, you then create connection. And what most of us long for is connection, but you can't have connection without intimacy. And so too many times, if you're closed off emotionally and you're having sex, you won't experience intimacy. You'll experience physical pleasure, but you won't experience authentic connection. And that's actually what we really want, all human beings, but unfortunately a lot of us don't know how to get it.
Mm-hmm.
So that's illusion number two. To be a man, you must use sexual conquest as a gauge for manhood. Illusion number three is, to be a man, you must have money and material possession. Now, there's absolutely nothing wrong with making money, and tons of it, not the point. The point here is, too many times men get trapped in materialism as a way of feeling good about themselves. And so from a female perspective, think about if you go on a date with a guy, very first date, what do we as men try to do? We want to impress you by taking you to a really fancy restaurant or spending a lot of money on flowers or something, in hopes that the first impression is going to get us another date.
Mm-hmm.
The problem with that is, what we're doing is we're really trying to buy love. What we're really saying is, you may not like me, but you'll like my stuff.
Oh.
And men get caught in that trap of, look what I've got. And you're going to like what I've got. Look at my car. Look at my clothes. Look, my bank account. So we get caught in this trap that we have to have money and material possessions to be men. The truth be told, you can be absolutely financially broke and be a man and happy.
Oh, yes.
How can I say that? Because I've done it. It wasn't until I lost everything. It wasn't until I lost everything that I really got it, that I didn't need anything outside of me to be loved.
And I always thought I was God's. I thought I was God's special child that needed a 2x4 to get my attention. I think He must use a 4x4 on you.
More like a concrete pole or something. But my point here, though, is that, again, there's absolutely nothing wrong with making money. But too many times our self-esteem is wrapped up into our stuff. And so what I challenge men to do is to look at that and see if you're hiding behind your stuff and not allowing yourself to connect intimately with others, not without your stuff, if that makes any sense.
Right.
So that's illusion number three. Illusion number four is, to be a man, you must have titles, positions, and power. Now, somehow in our crazy mixed-up world, we have this idea that a man with a PhD is somehow better than a man with a GED.
No, he just went to school longer.
He's got more education. And there's nothing wrong with education, but it does not necessarily make you a better man. Your educational level does not make you a good man. It just makes you smart sometimes. So
I just
want
to say, I've seen some very educated idiots lately. So I'm not sure. I'm not sure that it even makes them smart.
Yeah, and see, and the flip side of that is you have a lot of amazing men who are insecure in themselves because maybe they don't have degrees.
Yeah.
And so if you don't have a degree, you should still be comfortable in your own skin. You should just love yourself for who you are, not what you accomplish. And so, again, that's the trap that too many men get caught up into. The more titles I have, the more labels I have, I'm somehow better than someone who has less, and that's just not true. And last but not least, here's the illusion, is to be a man, you must constantly compete with and try to outdo other men.
Huh?
You see, there's this unwritten code that we men have that we're always trying to one-up each other. And so what I'm suggesting here for men is to stop competing and start cooperating with each other, support each other, empower each other. There's enough for everybody. But no, we don't have to have this mentality that my car has to be better than your car or my house has to be bigger than your house. We've all heard the term keeping up with the Joneses, right?
Yeah.
Where did that come from? We're always in competition with each other, trying to outdo each other. Time to let that go. There's plenty for everybody.
Uh-huh.
So,
yeah,
those
just
are
the toilet paper.
Five illusions. They're
still stocking the shelves.
Those are the five illusions, again, of manhood that keep men trapped. And until a man wakes up from these five illusions, he will never feel, F-E-E-L, feel complete and whole. And one of the things that I talk a lot about is something that men don't talk about, which is I call it make peace with your past. There is so much evidence now that supports the idea that trauma from childhood is carried into adulthood if you don't heal it. Now, speaking from my own experience, I possibly had the worst childhood a human being could have. I want you to try to imagine the absolute worst childhood a child could have and multiply by 10. That was my childhood from 7 to 13. There's no need to go into detail, but every imaginable type of abuse I experienced as a child. Now, as mentioned, I climbed the corporate ladder pretty quickly and was successful at a very young age. But internally, there was still something missing that I couldn't figure out. And it wasn't until I gained the courage to go to therapy, to start talking about some of the issues that were driving my behavior. See, my addiction of choice was work. I got my self-esteem from accomplishments, from work.
Uh-huh.
And I was this incessant people-pleasing Mr. Nice Guy that hid behind this mask, which if we have time, we might talk about the five masks of masculinity. But I hid behind this Mr. Nice Guy mask for a very long time. Well, when I decided to go to therapy, what I uncovered was my traumatic childhood was driving my behavior as an adult. So all the trauma that I experienced as a child caused me to feel a deep sense of what John Bradshaw called toxic shame.
Oh,
so
yes.
For most of my life, I was driven by this toxic shame of I'm not lovable, I'm not good enough, so what did I do? I accomplished all these things to try to get people to love me and to like me. Well, that's very draining. And it takes a lot of energy to keep this mask on of I'm trying to look good for everybody else. And so making peace with your past is the process of healing those childhood wounds. And there's lots of different modalities that people use to do that. For me, again, I gained the courage to go to therapy, had a fantastic therapist who helped me connect the dots to what was driving my behavior. I was willing to go through some emotional pain to heal that. But the most transformational work that I've done is I did a 3-day workshop with a guy by the name of John Bradshaw, who unfortunately passed away a couple of years ago. But he had a workshop called Healing Your Inner Child. It was an inner child workshop. And through this 3-day workshop, I allowed myself to feel and heal years and years of repressed pain and shame that I'd been carrying around. And in releasing that pain, letting go of it, I became free. And I got to
see
point, that. And I'm at a point now where I can tell you with absolute certainty, in this moment as I'm speaking to you, I am happier now than I've ever been in my life. And it's the result of making peace with my past, healing my heart, moving past those traumas, and being happy with who I am as a human being.
And you mentioned that you went to counseling, and I think that is the ultimate sign of a masculine man. If he is strong enough to admit he's not strong enough to do it by himself and seeks help, mm-hmm. to me that is a very appealing trait in a man.
But see, there's only two things that I know of that will cause a man to want to change. The first is pain. The second is what I call divine discontent, which is just an internal feeling that something's just not right.
Uh-huh.
And as men, a lot of us don't have the words for it. We can't really explain it, but in our guts, in our souls, we just know something's not right. And so for me, my primary driver to get me to go to therapy was pain. I was in so much pain, I had no choice. It was either me get help or me die. There was no gray area. I had to choose. And fortunately for me, I chose to live. And I gained the courage because of the pain that I was in. And so it was that courage to go to therapy that opened the door to my healing and transformation. And unfortunately, it's the most difficult step that most men are still very afraid to take. But by having these conversations, it opens the door for men to do so. And that's why I do what I do. Because in sharing my story, it gives men the permission to be real, to be authentic, to know that they're not alone. See, that's the problem with men. Too many times, we think no one's going to understand our pain.
Uh-huh.
We think that, oh my gosh, you don't know what I've been through. Yes, we do. Oh, yes, I do. And when I share my story, they go, oh yeah, he can understand my pain.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what opens the door to intimacy and connection. By me being willing to be vulnerable and authentic, it opens the door for men to do the same. And that's why
Absolutely.
This conversation is so important.
Definitely.
I want to stop right there, take a quick little break, and remind our listeners to call in if they have any questions. We've got about 20 minutes left on the show. And when we come back, I definitely want to hear you talk about the 5 masks. The number to call if you want to talk to Michael, and you've got 20 minutes, 516-418-5651.
If you like the show tonight, let us know. Call 321-417-4309 or email mary@beunique.org to ask how you can sponsor the show. It's simple and doesn't have to cost much at all. Visit beunique.org for even more details. That's BUNEKE.org. Join the global world changers who already know how Be Unique helps bring together like-minded humans who are making the world a better place. Read the magazine and blog posts, watch our videos, listen to our podcast, and visit our social media from one location, and let's work together. Change tomorrow by finding solutions today. Visit BeUnique.org to learn more. That's BUNEKE.org.
Welcome back. I am Mary. I'm here with Gene and Coach Michael Taylor. He has been telling us all kinds of amazing things about the new culture of manhood. And I hate that time is running out. We're only down to 20 minutes, and there's so much more to cover. Michael, would you tell us a little bit about what you mean about the 5 masks of masculinity, please?
Well, as mentioned earlier, we as human beings, unfortunately, we experience pain and trauma. In order to cope with that pain and trauma, our minds create defense strategies to keep us from experiencing that pain and hurt. One of the defense strategies that we create in our minds are these masks. And these masks are what we hide behind. And in essence, the masks are there to protect us. But the downside is those masks really drain us because we're pretending to be something that we're not. So let's talk about these five masks. The first mask is the Mr. Nice Guy mask. And I learned this from a therapist named Marvin Allen. Marvin Allen is a therapist, and he's been talking about men's work for 30 years or so. But I went to a seminar once, and he was talking about these five masks. And when he started talking and he said, Mr. Nice Guy, I immediately recognized that that was a mask I had worn all of my life. I had always, again, I had this insatiable need for approval, other people's approval. I was a huge codependent. Didn't know how to take care of myself emotionally, but I was very good at taking care of other people's emotions. So that mask I really related to. And so that's the first mask, the Mr. Nice Guy mask. The second mask is Mr. Tough as Nails. And this is the guy that will not, under any circumstance, express any emotion with the exception of maybe anger. And he pretends to be tough, hard, but underneath that mask, he actually has a heart of gold. And I believe at the core of us as human beings, we all have hearts of gold, but these masks, these defense mechanisms we create, once again, are the result of pain and trauma. So something happens in a person's life that makes them put on these masks. And so the Mr. Tough as Nails guy is the guy that, and I'm sure you may know someone like this, that gets angry at the slightest provocation. You know, if you're driving behind him on the freeway and you're going too slow, he's banging on his horn. He's just full of anger. Okay, well, that's a mask. He's hiding behind that Mr. Tough as Nails mask, and it keeps people from getting close to him because he's really terrified of intimacy and connection, because what he knows or what he's accepted is that that hurts. So rather than experience that hurt, what does he do? He puts up these walls. He becomes tough as nails. So that's mask number two. Mask number three is what I call Mr. Gigolo. And this is the guy that hides behind sexuality. And so these are the guys that, you know, all he does is he tries to validate himself by sleeping with as women as possible. And yet he doesn't know how to intimately connect with a person. So therefore, no matter how many women he sleeps with, he will always feel empty because he's getting his self-esteem. Mm-hmm. He's getting his self-esteem from the physical act of sex. But guess what? That's very draining and empty, and it catches up with you. You can only do that for so long. What we long for as human beings is authentic connection. And the guy that's hiding behind a Mr. Gigolo mask, he wants the same thing. He just doesn't know that he can't get it through the physical act of sex. Mm-hmm. So there's so many men out there. There's even a culture called pickup culture where you have men teaching other men how to pick up women with the sole intention just to sleep with them. And it's devastating a lot of our young men because, once again, they're being taught that this is not only a game, but they're being taught that this is how they validate themselves as men. But not only does it hurt them, but guess what it does to the woman? And that's really it's really sad. You know?
Yeah.
It's really, really sad. So that's another mask. The next mask is the Mr. Stuck in His Head. So this is the guy, very, very analytical, overthinks everything. This is the guy, and I love teasing engineers because they're trained to think. That's what they're trained to do, and they're very good at thinking. But as a coach, I remember I had a female client, and her husband were going through a divorce. He happened to be an engineer. And she was telling me that, you know, they would be having sex, and he would be explaining to her why a certain position was better than another position. I mean, he was so stuck in his head that, you know, he was always trying to explain things from his head. So he was, everything he did was from the neck up.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why so many men are unhappy, because they're stuck in their heads and they don't know how to get into their hearts. And so it's important that we as men learn that, hey, the longest journey that we'll ever take is the 12 inches from our heads to our hearts. And I mentioned earlier about, you know, the mask and how, you know, the mask, how we have behind the mask, and that, that mask of sexuality, that's something that we get, we think rather than feel the emotional connection and the feeling from the heart. And that's what we really, really want. So I try to get men to recognize just how important it is to not be stuck in your head so much and know that true intimacy and connection comes from your heart. It's not going to come from your head. And it's sad, because I believe every man longs for the same thing. I really believe that every man longs for the same thing. But to me,
what is
that? We don't have the connection.
Okay, makes sense.
We want connection, but again, we live in a culture that says we aren't, because our culture says we aren't supposed to feel. So how can we – go ahead, Mary.
We are today. I mean, it's April the 9th, 2020. We're in the midst of this COVID-19 crisis, and everybody is now staying home. Everybody is disconnected. How do you feel this is going to play out on this new culture of manhood down the road?
Well, see, actually, I believe this is a very good thing, because what it's challenging us to do, especially as men, is to really confront our lack of intimacy and connection. Because when we're stuck in a house with our mates, and I don't like the term stuck, that's probably not appropriate, but when you're in an environment where you can't leave, and again, this gives us an opportunity as men to ask ourselves deeper questions. And the deeper question is, why is it that I'm so uncomfortable just being with my wife or my spouse or my partner?
Uh-huh.
Should I not be able to be happy in this situation? Now, obviously the situation is pretty challenging, but as men, we have to ask ourselves, I'm forced now to look at my relationship. And is there something I might need to do to make my relationship better? And a lot of men are now asking themselves that question as a result of this situation, because they don't have a choice. Now, there's going to be a lot of men that are going to be in denial, and they're going to run away from this conversation, which is okay. But I think, again, men are waking up, and as mentioned, I believe in human evolution. So I don't think men have a choice. Human beings are waking up. Men are waking up. So the key is for us to be willing to dive into these types of conversations and to know that it's okay to have them for men. And that's why I do what I do. So last but not least,
I think it's I think it's more than okay. It's something that I would love to see almost be mandatory. I mean, if you can't face yourself in the mirror or face yourself internally and talk to who you are inside, how do you think you can talk to anyone outside?
Absolutely.
And hence the masks, of course. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. And so, again, that's why it's so important to have these types of conversations. And the reason... one of the reasons why I'm so optimistic, was when I started writing back in 1995, when I went to a bookstore to research men's issues and masculinity, there were very few books available. I mean, this is 1995, and
right.
there was no such thing as a men's section per se.
No, because only women have to have that kind of fluffy stuff.
Mm-hmm.
That was the prevailing thought. Men don't need to discuss
right.
their emotions. Men don't have emotions.
Right.
Exactly. But now there is an infinite number of not only men talking about this, but there's organizations and there's books and there's coaches and there's men are talking. I mean, you know, one of the best things I think that ever happened to this country was to start having a conversation about mental health.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't see it as mental health. And I think that's the problem with the conversation about mental health. I see it as emotional health. Because it is emotional health that is driving, and there's a distinction to be made between mental health and emotional health.
Yes.
What men are really struggling with is emotional health. When you start thinking about mental health in its worst form, you think of something like schizophrenia. It's a condition of the mind where it's completely mental, right?
Mm-hmm.
But when you start talking about things like PTSD for veterans, I don't see that as a mental health issue as much as an emotional health issue. Because what happens
Absolutely.
Is when men experience the trauma that they experience while in combat, it's emotions that they're dealing with that they've suppressed, repressed, and denied because, number one, in order to survive, you can't think about things like sadness and fear. You can only think about and focus on survival.
Exactly.
So what happens is men see things like men getting their heads blown off or their buddies getting killed in combat. It's emotion. There's sadness that comes with those types of events, and men don't know how to process that. And so when we create spaces for men to process and get real, then they can heal. So, again, I think although it's important to have a conversation about mental health, it's not mental as much as it is emotional.
And people don't want to talk about their emotions.
Especially men.
Yes.
Yep.
Especially,
generally, yeah.
Especially men. And once again, I come back to the statistic. 75% of all suicides are men. If you look at who is engaged in the overwhelming majority of senseless acts of violence, it's men. Not to say that women don't commit acts of violence, because they do, and it's
mm-hmm.
the same reason that men do. But as a culture, as a society, overwhelmingly, it's men. And the reason why it's men is because they're trapped in that first illusion and they're unwilling to deal with their emotions.
Yeah, that is so, it's one of those double-edged swords. You know, it's very hard to get help for something like that if you can't or won't admit that you need the help.
Yeah, it's extremely
recognize.
Difficult because, you know, the three most difficult words for any man to say is, I need help.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's why I said.
Followed by.
That's why I said that I thought a man who seeks counseling is one of the strongest, most masculine men around.
Absolutely. And speaking of that, since we're running out of time, I did want to say this. There's a lot of talk out there about toxic masculinity.
Yes.
You guys have heard that term?
Yeah.
Many times.
There's no such thing. There's no such thing.
Okay.
And here's why. Here's why. I want you to think of masculinity as an energy. It's a feeling. So a woman can have masculine traits. Okay?
Yes.
A man can have feminine traits.
Mm-hmm.
So think of it as energy. masculinity is the energy of doing. Okay?
Right.
Femininity, energy of being. So, if I'm being caring, if I'm being compassionate, if I'm being loving, those are feminine energies, not gender specific. It's just energies.
Yin and yang.
If I'm being ambitious, you know, and I'm being motivated. See, those are doing, and I'm doing stuff. So that's a doing energy. So they've been throwing around this idea that masculinity can be toxic, which in reality it can't. Now, there are men who exhibit toxic behaviors, no question about it. But it's not masculinity that's driving that behavior. It is their disconnection from authentic masculinity that's driving that behavior.
Yeah, but to make the differentiation that I think in order to be able to look at it a different way, people are going to have to be able to relate to it differently from themselves.
Sure.
The paradigm that you had talked about.
Yeah, but see, I don't know. Did you guys ever see that Gillette commercial that came out about the toxic masculinity? Did you see that commercial?
I did not, no.
I don't watch a lot of commercials.
Yeah, the Gillette company that does razors, they did actually an amazing commercial about toxic masculinity. Well, there was a huge backlash because the implication was that men are toxic. And so, again, most people can't make that distinction, but when you throw that word around, the implication is that it's something that's inherent in men, and that's just not the case. So for me, there's no such thing as toxic masculinity. There are only toxic behaviors.
Toxic expression.
That makes perfect sense because, you know, that's like saying that all people who live in the South speak slowly because they're intellectually challenged. Well, I can tell y'all that ain't true. I also can tell you that our surprise guest is here. Anna East is on the air. And I want to let Anna make her announcement, and then we're going to come back to Michael to wrap up the show. So take it away, Anna.
Hello. Hi, can you hear me?
I hear you.
Oh, amazing. Hi. Oh, yes, this is Anna. I just want to thank you guys so much so far. Michael, you've had some really fantastic points, both for men and women to hear, and I've really enjoyed listening. So the reason I called in is because I actually want to say that I'll be hosting a new show with Be Unique, sponsored by Be Unique, on Tuesday nights at 8 p.m. EST, and mine will be a bit focused on, it's going to be called Here I Am, and it's focused on bringing us all back to our simple selves and embracing all that we are. But I just really appreciate what you're speaking about as well, Michael. Thank you so much for sharing your words. I have personally, I can reflect on being more communicative with the men in my life, as well as take some of those lessons for myself too. So thank you.
You're very welcome.
Excellent.
Yeah, absolutely. And thank you, Mary, for letting me call in.
You're very welcome. I can't wait to hear your show on Tuesday.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it, definitely. I'll be there listening.
Thank you. I'm very excited. I'm very excited to start it up. Very thankful to Be Unique as well.
Excellent.
So we're going to wrap back around to Michael and tie this up with a pretty little ribbon. Michael, please tell our listeners, by the way, we are now heard in 20 different countries. And I think that's pretty impressive. This station on this channel has only been here since November. The weekend of Thanksgiving, we set it up. So I think we've done pretty good.
Yeah.
So, Michael, would you tell our listeners where they can find you and all 11 of your books?
Well, since we're having a conversation about men, let me just put this out. If you go to anewconversationwithmen.com, that's the address, anewconversationwithmen.com, If you've been inspired by this message and you want to go a little bit deeper, you can actually get a free digital copy of the book, A New Conversation with Men. And I talk about the five illusions of manhood. I talk about the five masks of masculinity and lots of other amazing topics in the book. So if you're moved by this, simply go to anewconversationwithmen.com. Just put in your name and email address, and you'll get a free digital copy.
Very cool.
That's awesome. That is very good. Everybody likes free.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So
it's been a pleasure to have you here, Michael, and I'm so glad we were able to reschedule after the last time. That was tragic to hear, but I'm glad everybody in the family is doing well.
Yes. Thank you for having me. I really appreciate the opportunity to share this message.
I've learned a lot, and I feel like I have way more questions.
I know. I was thinking we could do another hour probably.
Well, unfortunately, we'd have to wait and schedule that for sometime in February because we're booked through the rest of this year and into January.
Wow. Sweet.
It's nice to be popular. I've never been the popular kid in school. I was always the bookworm. So I'm enjoying this. And I'm excited to welcome Anna to the Be Unique Unscripted podcast family. And Michael, I know that you're going to do extremely well in life. You're already doing well. And I feel that you're going to be able to reach more men and help them understand that it's okay to say, I need help. It's okay to say, I have feelings. And it's okay to reach outside of themselves to get what they need to be a better, more masculine man by being less what are the words I'm looking for? Those illusions, by breaking down those walls that so many men have built up around themselves.
Definitely.
Yeah. Well, ultimately, as men, what we want, whether we will admit it or not, is we want connection. And men long for it. They're hungry for it. And I'm trying to create a space that provides men the opportunity to get it. And that's what my mission in life is, to create spaces for men that allow them to learn to love themselves and be okay with that, not be uncomfortable with that, and create connection in all areas of their lives.
Show them how.
And give us your website one last time, please.
anewconversationwithmen.com.
Excellent. So everybody go to anewconversationofmen.com and get your free
download. A new conversation with men, or they won't get there.
I don't even want to talk about
what I said. It was wrong.
a new conversation with men.com.
There you go.
And with that, I'm going to say good night.
Good night.
All right.
Bye-bye, everybody.
See you.
Thank you for listening this evening. We're happy you chose to spend this time with us, and we hope you learned as much as we did.
Every Thursday at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
And if you'd like us to invite you or someone you know to speak right here, just go to beunique.org and contact us there.
I'm still trying to wrap my head around the fact that our newly branded podcast has so many global listeners and that our website and magazine receive thousands of visitors each month. Let's put your brand in front of all those people. Mary can share the demographics with you. Contact her through the website. That's BUNEKE.org.